following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening and a pleasant evening to you. Inside Halas Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabeman. The Bears, and Tom, it's been a while since I've had the chance to say this, the Bears going for a second straight win Sunday at Soldier Field against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we're going to talk about that and oh so much more with a new player to the Bears All-Access lineup, Michael Ola, the offensive lineman, joins us for the first time. Michael, good evening.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks
for having
me. Welcome
aboard. I have so many different questions to ask you because for people who don't know Michael's backstory, he originally became acquainted with Bears head coach Mark Trestman in Montreal as a member of the Alouettes when Trestman was the head coach there in the CFL. And then the Bears wanted to sign you last year, right? But it didn't work out.
Right.
You ended up in Miami. What was that like? Because there was a lot of turmoil in Miami, especially with the offensive line last year.
Right. At that point in time, obviously this being my first go-round in the National Football League, I had gotten an offer from both Miami and Chicago. And at the time, going to Miami felt right, seemed right, not just for the best interest of myself, but for the best interest of my family and everything like that. And, I was looking at an opportunity where they really were only bringing back one starter on the offense. So it just seemed like, I had a greater odd of making that line, and things didn't work out there. But I was fortunate, real fortunate to be able to come back and be with the Bears. And, I ended up where I was supposed to be at all along.
A couple of questions I have from that. First of all, my first 3 years of professional football, I played in the USFL. So I knew what it was like to go through a stadium. You had crowds of 18,000, 20,000, 30, whatever the case may be. Similar to your experiences maybe in your past football. And then you come to the NFL and every stadium sold out. How did that affect your enthusiasm for the game? And was that an exciting part for you to be able to go through in terms of what you struggled in order to get here?
Well, there was always that allure surrounded by the NFL for me in my eyes. I just felt like the guys in this league were bigger, stronger, faster, just better. They had that glow. They had the media, everything. It was just the pinnacle of football players, height and everything. And so it was great. The biggest thing for me was just knowing how to play in those type of games, because I've never had to deal with that, the crowd. I never was affected that much by the crowd, playing in arena, playing in the UFL and stuff like that. The CFL, it was a little bit better, but nothing was like, what I was going to experience when I came in for my first away game in Seattle. And, I got those fans roaring and everything like that. And, you're dealing with silent count. So it was definitely good.
When did it click in your head when you were in that other league that you believe that, look, I can take this to the NFL and I can win a job? Because the first week of full pad practice, I didn't know if you could play in the NFL. Then all of a sudden, wow, he can move. He's just as good at right tackle as he is at right guard. Man, he can play some left guard and all this other stuff that you were doing. Then all of a sudden you started getting the attention of everybody. When back in your football background did it click? Because, when I left the USFL, because of the talent I was playing against, I still didn't know if I could play in the NFL. When did it happen for you?
It's been a continual thing, I never knew that, I never figured myself to be just that guy who was just destined to play in the NFL. I always said that, I felt like I was good. I felt like I could play ball, but obviously from not getting any kind of attention from the NFL teams or NFL teams, passing on me, that kind of dampened my spirits to say, maybe I'm not that good, And so when I did get into training camp and I started practicing, I started competing, I mean, at that point in time, the gloves are off, you're a man just like I'm a man. And I just felt, I just started gaining confidence with every practice that I was taking. And, it still hasn't sat in, I still haven't, there's days where I'm just like, man, I really don't feel like I deserve to be here. I mean, so many great people who have come before me and things like that. So, but I'm continually building my confidence, continually, working on my craft to earn a keep around here.
I have so many CFL questions because, and this is not a small deal. When you go to the CFL, if you're American, there's a restriction in terms of how many foreigners can end up playing, at least starting in a CFL game. And you were caught in a numbers game.
Yes, I definitely was. So I believe the thing was in Montreal, they had an outstanding offensive line already. And so for them, they were used to, and they could get away with, you know, having a completely Canadian offensive line. So that freed up room for them to be able to play American skill players, receivers, running backs, whatever the case may be, corners, things like that. And so, you know, my coaches, they saw it. They were like, man, this kid can play. He's good. But, you know, we're not really losing that much if, you know, we keep our line in. And, you know, it's just that's just how the things go. And that was something that Coach Trestman had to sit me down. And Coach Meyer, they definitely had to tell me a couple different times because it was hard on me to sit there. You know, I felt like I should be playing. I felt like I was, you know, at a level where, you know, I'm playing great football and I'm just being underutilized. And so they had to just let me know that, you know, this is just how it is. It's not personal and you just got to wait your turn. And things just opened up for me.
Now, the great thing for you is that they ended up in the NFL on a team where there was going to be an opportunity for you. But before we get to that, so I follow Chad Johnson. He plays for the Alouettes now.
Yeah.
And I follow him on Twitter, and he talks about all the great things in Montreal and the French. You know, that's
right.
Now, what did you look? Can you give us a complete? How much French did you learn when you were in Montreal? Could you do an interview? Could you do a Alouettes All Access in French?
No, I cannot.
Did you have any French offensive line calls?
I'm pretty sure we did, but they were all just interior things. We never really used them as our mainstream calls. But you learn stuff just from being there. You know, you have no choice. You just pick up on things.
So how do you say Ocho Cinco in French?
Ha!
I have no idea. I could say anything, and it would sound good.
I definitely couldn't answer that question.
What's the coolest road trip in the CFL?
The coolest road trip? It would have to be Montreal going to Toronto. We take a train there, have our own cart. And that was my first time really riding on a train. And it's like all decked out. And, you know, we had a fan appreciation game. And so the whole ride back where we just take the whole train and have like 12 different carts with fans on them. And we'll run through signing autographs, get to be with the fans and interact with them, hang out, eat with them. So that was pretty fun. It's a pretty awesome thing every year to do that.
That'd be neat to do as part of a professional team. But, you know, what we have to talk about is earlier this year, we were talking to someone on the show, and it was the halfway point, and we were talking about the halfway point MVP. And we had Matt Forte and Martellus and Willie Young and Brandon Marshall. And you were the only – I said you were the midpoint MVP. I don't want you to talk about it because just the fact that you said, boy, you were disappointed you weren't getting to play. All of a sudden, boom, the Buffalo game, there's an injury you're playing.
Right.
Now you're starting. But now you're starting here, then you're starting there, then you want to go over there. Hey, can you try some reps here? All that other kind of stuff. Right. How has the experience of change been for you? Is that good mentally? Because, you know, having the experience to move around a little bit on the offensive line, I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, for me, the biggest thing I would say is it keeps me motivated to keep working because, you know, there's times where it's like, man, you know, I wish I could just beat down a particular craft and get in a groove like other people get to do. And then when those thoughts come in, I got to kick them out real fast because, you know, this is a National Football League. And, you know, especially with a person like me who's in the position that I am in, you know, I definitely have to be able to do whatever it is the coaches want me to do. And so, you know, it just helps me because there's days where I'm feeling great at left guard. And then it's like, well, we need you to play tackle. And so it's like, all right, you know, as good as I felt at left guard, I got to feel even better at right tackle right now because nobody's going to care, you know, once the stat sheet, once the game's over, they're not going to care that, hey, this guy was playing another position last week, you know. So I just got to go out there and make everything, you know, count.
For my 8 years with the Bears, I only talked to Jay Hilgenberg and Keith Van Horn. So far, everybody, he's had conversations with everybody on the offensive line because he's moved. You're going to have to find out who is the most conversationalist during the game.
We'll find that out. Plus, if you could select what position you would just stick at for an entire season, what would it be? We'll discuss next with our guest for the full hour. Michael Ola is with us. So it's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. second of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only, Subway. Eat fresh. Back inside the Chicago Network studios, inside Halas Hall, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, joined by offensive lineman Michael Ola of the Bears here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So we've seen you at both guard positions. We've seen you at both tackle positions. I think the only place you haven't played is center. Could you do that?
You took a couple snaps in training camp, I think. Didn't you? I think you did in the practice.
No, I believe everybody from the top to the bottom of this organization knows that I don't need to be playing.
How many guys would have to go down before they'd put you at center?
Oh, man.
Matt Dela does a terrific job, by the way, as the backup center.
That, I just don't see that happening at all. And my teammates will probably vouch. Just not that I've ever even – they've never seen me snap the ball, but they just know, like, you know.
Just his reaction right here tells you don't try. But what did you consider yourself on the offensive line? What position would you say is the position that's best suited for you, if you could? Now, obviously, in the NFL, you don't really get to decide in your position. You just play wherever they want you to play. But what would you love to play if you could?
You know, I always saw myself as a tackle because that's all I played growing up in high school and then in college. And then once I started playing professionally in the CFL, I was like, okay, you know, I played 5 games at left tackle, between left tackle and right tackle, my first year in Montreal. Then my second season, I played everything at left guard. And so, you know, just from having agents and coaches and front offices in the NFL, you know, talk to you about, you know, we see you as a guard and stuff like that. You know, I've had to adapt to both, you know. So for a majority of my life, I saw myself as a tackle. Once I started playing professionally, people started putting, you know, voices in my head about guard. And so I can't really say which one is my, you know, cup of tea because I've gotten used to both of them. And so, you know, maybe one day when it's all said and done, I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, maybe I was this or maybe I was that. But I don't have enough wisdom right now to pick.
But, you know, that's a good thing. You don't have enough wisdom because you haven't been around long enough, and you're going to have a lot more. It's a good thing to be around Aaron Cromer and Pat Myers because these are the two guys that have a lot of faith and belief in going, you know, Michael Ola, he's got the traits to play this position, but he's got the balance and the stance to play over here. So those guys are instrumental, too, and it's nice to believe those guys have raised expectations for you rather than a guy going, well, you know, let's break him in slowly.
They remind me all the time, you know, and they've been instrumental in my growth as a player, you know, not just physically, but being a student of the game and just the standards that they have and that they set, you know, is so high at times. I'm like, man, is this even realistic? But not knowingly, that's helped me, you know, to be able to perform this season because, like I said before, it's the NFL. It doesn't get any better than this. And everybody's good. Everybody's great. So, you know, what can I personally do and how am I being coached to be able to compete and to compete well against these guys? And Pat and Chrome, they've just done a phenomenal job in that area.
Visiting with Michael Ola, the Bears offensive lineman, the versatile offensive lineman here on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. And this question really is for both of you. Because you have to play on both sides, you know, it's not an easy transition. Is it similar to a switch hitter in baseball? Because your movements are the complete opposite depending on where you play.
You know, for what I'll say about it is I do believe that certain people have body types built for certain positions, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, it all depends on, like, how your hips sit, you know, whether a guy's a left tackle or a right tackle, things like that, what kind of body posture you have and things like that. But I kind of got I'm not going to say weird, but a unique body type. So it's like, you know, I barely meet the requirements, but I can flow, you know, on
Tom's
different.
Tom's laughing. So help explain.
He's kind of has a stance like a – because he can get wide in his stance. He can look wider than he is taller. But then the width, when you're looking at a guy on a film, that gives you the indication of how much space you have to get around. But then you get in front of him, and he's got much longer arms than you thought a guy – that had this height, but he's this wide. You know, it's just the whole combination that you need in order to be built great for the sport. And I think that goes along with guys that are in wrestling and guys that are great boxers and stuff. They have the style that they're built perfectly for. And fortunately for him, in the world of offensive alignment, which it's hard to say, yeah, you're built great for every position.
Okay, now obviously you're a good talker. We can definitely find that out here on the show. Who's the chattiest guy on the offense?
Yeah. offensive line wise.
Kyle Long, definitely. He just has a unique energy about him, and the guys love it. You know, we come in and we might not say it, but some days we'll just come in and just wait for him to say something to just get us
light
rolling.
Up the room, right?
Yeah. I mean, between him, Garza. And Garza as well. So we've got some characters.
Isn't it amazing, though, that how well you know the timing of Roberto Garza, because he is the center. And if you go out there and you have a slow silent count or different aspects to the length of it, how it's almost you can tell, you know what Roberto is going to do before he does it, because he leads all you guys.
Oh,
anyways.
Yeah. I found that out to be very big, especially when I made the move to tackle, just to be able to know, you know, okay, get a feel for how quick is he bobbing his head, you know, what kind of feel are we having and things like that. And so, I mean, it's just great, especially with just a guy like him being the leader that he is. You know, you kind of have no choice but to just get with the program.
The left guard being in control, the snap count. Did you like that when you were in there?
Oh, I loved it.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I loved it.
There are people that probably have no idea what you're talking about. So when you say in control of the snap count,
when nowadays when you go out there and it has a loud environment, the left guard will look back at the quarterback. The quarterback will give him an indication that he's done going through all of his reads in order to call the play. And then the left guard will put a hand out in front of the line so they can all see a shadow, a movement, a feathering of it, knowing that the timing of the count is on. And so when you are a left guard, you're usually not in control of that. You're anticipating the movement of the center. Now you're the guard, you're in control of it all. So having a small opportunity to do that, it had to be fun for you.
Oh, it was definitely sweet. It was something I well needed, too, in the first two games that I played or started were in San Francisco and at New York. So, you know, that was just a great welcome to the NFL moment to be able to go to those hostile environments, but to still feel a little sense of comfortable, to be comfortable enough with the snap count because of the way we are running our snap count.
That welcoming Ryan Monday interception return for a touchdown.
Oh, man, it was sweet. It was.
Hey, is Jermon Bushrod the professor of the offensive line? Because we didn't talk about him, but he's such a big part of what you guys do.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, the professor, the cool guy, there are certain guys that we have on our team, and they just have a presence about themselves, and he's definitely one of those guys. Him and Matt Slauson, they're kind of like the brains of the group. You know, he's just been around, two-time Pro Bowler. I mean, I'll just go over there and I'll start talking to him like, yeah, what do you think? Or how do you feel about this set? And he'll just, you know, give me pointers and things like that. He'll let me know if my hips are right, if my aiming point's off. Him and Slaw, they have that, you know, that just presence about themselves, man. Two great dudes.
They're technicians. When we come back, the Bears did something noticeably different on offense that affected the offensive line last week. We'll discuss what it means going forward on Bears All Access with Michael Ola, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This Sunday's game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is brought to you by Chase, the official bank of the Bears since 1934. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Chase scarf. With Michael Ola and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And it's time now to decide on the player of the game from last week against the Vikings, brought to you by Sports Authority. All things sporting good. We got a lot of candidates for this one. We can start on offense, start with the quarterback, touches the ball on every snap, 333 yards throwing for Jay Cutler last week, had the three touchdown passes. How about Matt Forte as a runner, as a pass catcher, as a blocker, had 175 yards from scrimmage, including 117 on the ground. And if Matt was here, he would thank the guys up front, including Michael Ola, for making that happen. Alshon Jeffrey, big play player last week, 135 yards receiving, had the touchdown catch. Brandon Marshall had a couple of big-time touchdown catches. And then on defense, Jared Allen had a sack, Willie Young had a sack, and Ryan Mundy clinched the game with that big interception. So if you had to say one guy as the player of the game last week, who would it be?
I would go off the cuff.
You would?
Yes. I'd give the game ball to Coach Trestman. Because for his, for where he's at in his coaching, he probably faced the most difficult week ever in the season of coaches. Now, because it's a lot harder on coaches now with so they the different directions that they can be attacked. And I think the players did a nice job. They accepted what their responsibility was in preparation to get ready for this game to go out there and win it. But what Coach Trestman was able to do to overcome what the obstacle was in last week, I think he just deserved a pat on the back because it was tough.
Now, Michael can't say that he doesn't agree with you.
Because no, he doesn't have to agree because he's the one out there. Because, believe me, there's a lot of great efforts. But sometimes when you're a player and you're going to work every day with a head coach that's going through some tough times, you like to see him be rewarded too.
I'm looking at the judge who also serves as the executive producer, Greg Miller, here on the show, and he's nodding his head. So yeah, we'll go with
Roman is a candidate.
Mark Trestman as the Sports Authority player slash coach of the game. So Mark Trestman helping
the Bears.
Hey, believe
me, the head coach is a player in the games today.
That's a big deal. And now one of the things that you mentioned that I think had a noticeable effect on the game plan is the fact that they made Jay Cutler a little bit more comfortable as an offensive player by moving the pocket and allowing the quarterback to move and change the launching point at certain times. Is that one of the things you're talking about?
In terms of what?
In terms of the game plan that he put in place.
Yeah, I do. But I think it's the whole making sure everybody's concentrating every single day at practice. Yeah, I think Jay, we all know that he's got great maneuverability in him. Is that going to be the big, huge part of a game plan for the Bears? No, because it's still about the offense that they have installed. But I think whenever you put in a new little wrinkle, whether it's the inclusion of Marquise Wilson, Jay, you know, having these semi-rollouts in each direction a couple times, now it just adds a whole nother period that your opponent has to practice for to get ready for the inclusion of Marquise or Jay moving around.
Michael Ola is with us. Michael, what does it do for an offensive line when they're moving the pocket around?
It's been said in the past, it just changes the launching point. For offensive line, normally pass pro, you know, you're taking your set and you have defensive linemen teeing off, linebackers flying off at you. But when you're able to run your play actions or when you have the pocket being moved, you're more aggressive. You're able to take shots. You're able to get defenders off their heels and to get them out of their pass rush lanes that they normally would get off into. And so it's just a nice change of pace to keep them on their toes so that they have more things to think about.
But it's different because you're an offensive tackle. If they roll to the right, you need to make the key block in order for them to be able to roll to the right. If they're rolling to the left, then you're a nice backside.
Right.
You got to make sure you don't get beat across your face. So it is different responsibilities for a tackle if you do want to start creating more of a moving pocket for a quarterback.
Right.
One of the other things that I found interesting, at least in this game, is the fact that, you know, when you have the constant changeover and, you know, you're facing a different team every week, they went man, right? And the Tampa 2 defense that Lovie Smith runs. Now, he says he runs it about a third of the time. When you watch the tape, is that true, or does he go primarily zone?
You know, I am not that learned to answer that question. I will say that, you know, I personally would hope everybody would go man against us because I just love our receivers, and I think they're phenomenal and everything like that. But defenses are going to try a lot of different things, you know, and he's way more up there than me, you know, the great Lovie Smith and everything like that. And I'm not sure, you know, we'll see how things actually play out. Because
you're just focused on the guy.
Well, what's the number of the penetrating defensive tackle?
You talk about Mr. McCoy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you ask these guys about anything about the front seven, they're there. But, you know, getting back to Lovie and something to talk about more towards the weekend, every time that we were broadcasting a game over the years, you always said, boy, I wonder what it would be like to play against a Lovie team. What would you do if you were playing against a Lovie defense? You're going to have your chance because Lovie is what Lovie is. He's a Tampa 2-style defense. He's going to start with penetration from number 93, Gerald McCoy. The linebackers are going to flow fast and backwards fast. The two deep safeties are going to be there. The corners are going to be given a little bit of a cushion. Zach, because this is what we've grown with. We've watched this defense for as many years as Lovie's been here, and it's still it.
And it's different from, say, when you take on the ones in practice here at Halas Hall. It's different than what the Bears defensive line now does, because they're trying to grab a hold of you with their hands, whereas you just talked about McCoy's trying to shoot the gap and get right after
you. He's trying to make their running game one-dimensional. If he can get penetration into the backfield with about 2.5 yards and create a pile, that play only has one direction to go. And now you got 9 other guys trying to filter to that area where that defensive tackle is trying to create this play to go.
So you definitely have to get your hands on these guys. You cannot allow penetration. You can't allow these guys to split the double teams, which is something that they do very well. And like you said before, Gerald McCoy and the rest of those guys, you know, they're going to definitely try, you know, to make our jobs very tough on us. But that's why we're coming into this thing and we're understanding that, you know, we're going to have to know that we have to do our best job to neutralize these guys, you know. And obviously there's going to be times where, you know, a guy just gets off, you know. I mean, they're great players too, you know what I'm saying? And so our thing is just to take our technique every single play, you know, to reset our minds every play to know that, am I doing what I need to do right on this play? Are my hips set right? Are my feet set right? Am I getting hands on these guys? Am I able to stop them? Because like you said before, you know, we're emulating what we're expecting to see from them, but at the same time, when it's live, you know, when you're going against the real deal and not a carbon copy, you know, there's just a different element to it.
I thought you and Kyle improved a lot from 1 week to week two in your combination blocks, in the sense of your timing, how you got one level moved to level two. And that will be a key element this week when you and Kyle have an opportunity to have a double team block against Gerald McCoy. It's going to be making sure you guys are using the snap count as a weapon.
Most definitely. And we understand that. You know, they understand that as well. And that's just the beautiful thing about football,
right?
Because these things, it just lines up. And then when it's game day, you know, the most prepared man wins.
Got the two offensive linemen next to me smiling wide, talking about Michael Ola and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zimmerman. When we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about the guys the teammates call Q and Chuck next on Bears All Access.
I want to know who he lockers next to, too, because that's always an interesting aspect.
I know the answer. He'll share it with you next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, offensive lineman Michael Ola, our guest for the full hour. The home office called. You know, earlier in the game, we gave out the Sports Authority Player of the Game to head coach Mark Trestman, and then they said, hey, wait a minute. It's
right.
Player
I
of the
jumped.
Game.
It was my fault.
So now we have to actually pick a player, they say. So
I got to go with Matt.
Matt Forte?
Yeah, I have to.
I'm going to ask Ola. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I have to. 40 is – he's just such an integral part of this offense. I mean, there's so much things that he does that just can't be captured on a stat sheet. And, I mean, the guy is just a great human being, phenomenal player. I mean, before I was even in the NFL, I didn't really care for Matt Forte and his style of running and everything. But after playing with him, after even spending an OTA with him, I was just like, man, this dude is a freak. And, I mean, every week in, week out, no matter what it looks like, whether it's blocking, whether it's winning the game through running, catching, whatever, he's going to do it. And that's my guy.
Isn't it amazing when you can break the huddle and say, hey, Matt, you know, you might have to give me a chip here. And then when you get a beast kind of a chip from Matt that you can get where his shoulder can lay out a defensive end and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it just workhorse personified.
Yeah.
So Matt Forte. Now there are some tangible numbers that we can use to explain why he had such a good game. 175 yards from scrimmage, including 117 rushing. So Matt Forte is our Sports Authority Player of the Game, brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting goods. So we got the business out of the way. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the other guys that are unsung, but I thought helped play a role last week in the victory over the Vikings. One is a man called Q. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tom?
Kadeem?
No. Marquise Wilson. First game back from the broken clavicle.
Why would I get Q out of Kadeem?
Hey, listen.
Sorry.
Why would we get a Q out of Marquise? Because he spells it
got
with a Q.
Q.
Yeah. So and he is he's a funny guy, Marquise Wilson, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He that's my guy though. He's he's one of the dudes who I hang out with on a regular basis, whether it's talking trash to each other, playing Call of Duty, or going out to eat, or just hanging out. You know, he's a great dude.
Jay Cutler loves the guy. I think it's because he's in the quarterback section there of the locker room, you know, on the other side where Jay is. But Cutler's always mocking him for his wardrobe, right?
Yeah, you know, he's just got that whole cool younger brother type of persona. Like, everybody sees him. He's funny. He's cool. But at the same time, he's kind of a dork. So it's like you have no choice but to be pulled in by his goofiness. But he's an awesome dude.
You know, one thing about Marquise is last year I remember him coming into the Green Bay game, and Jay threw him a pass that he knew he was going to get hit by two guys. He made the catch, took a big hit, and came up with the ball. And it kind of told me something about Marquise's willingness, that some guys maybe in those temperatures at that time of the season know you're going nowhere, maybe a little reluctant. But I think that is the subtle way that he builds faith from Jay that he is going to catch it. So I do believe then the snippets we saw to him at OTAs in the beginning of the training camp, you saw what big play ability he lent to the team. So that's what everybody wants to see, is that one big explosive play that he brings up.
From an X's and O's standpoint, how does he help Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey when he's on the field?
Well, because if they try to shadow cover him, Jay's going to hit him for a big pass, and then they're going to have to glue someone to him, and then it's just going to thin coverage from everybody else. That's the key element to Marquise, is Jay doesn't have to throw to him but a certain amount of times a game. But if he's always on that other side of the safeties and it's a throw safe with distance, no intentions of getting interception, but Marquise is still threatening you, it helps those guys underneath.
Now, for last year, we were used to Eben Britton being the extra offensive lineman in the big package that you guys run, but he's been dealing with the appendix, and that's given the rookie Charles Leno Jr. You guys call him Chucky on the field. What's he like?
Man, Chuck is a cool dude. He's that's my guy. We're actually roommates on the road. And so it's pretty cool. You know, he's from Cali, so he's got that whole Cali vibe, you know. And but he's a good dude, man. He you know, he likes sitcoms on Netflix, you know. He likes his little shows and everything like that. But really, really just proud and happy for him, you know, because it's very tough, you know, when you build a camaraderie with your teammates, and then you get to see guys and they grow closer together because they're in battling and they're getting the hard-fought victories, and it's like, man, you know, I know I'm helping my team in practice, but man, I really want to go out there and war with the guys. And so for him to be able to come out there and to play, and for us to get the W and everything like that, it just helps him feel more like, you know, he's already, you know, everybody's a part of the team, but it just gives you that self-satisfaction to know that, you know, I'm bleeding with you guys as well.
Even though you have other experiences, do you still have to do all the rookie initial experiences in the NFL this year?
I do.
Has that been a good thing for you? Is that even though you're kind of an older rookie, you're still a rookie? Do you like the inclusion in the younger guys to be a part of them from this stage on?
Yeah, you know, I kind of took it, took on its own thing, where it was like, you know, the young guys would get upset if I didn't show up to stuff, right. But then the old guys are like, hey, you're a young guy, so. But I liked it because, you know, this is the class that I came in with, and so, you know, we have our own special connection with the rest of the rookies. And so it's fun. You know, we get together, we hang out, we do stuff, and I like it.
Well, just in the when I came in after the USFL experience, they wanted me to sing in the cafeteria, and I said no because I'm a veteran. So I didn't know if you would have the same experiences, but.
Oh, well, you know, some people, you know, for the most part, guys, they come up to me and, you know, like Alshon told me the other day, he was like, you a rookie? And I was like, yeah, bro. He was like, man, I did not know you was a rookie. I was like, yeah, man.
We didn't know that Alshon talks. I mean, that might be the most he's ever said. And what are you thinking saying no to the 85 Bears?
Because I was becoming familiar with Michael's experience, because you do come in here, you have the experience of being around professionals, older guys, and all those things.
Okay, but what was the reaction? When you said no, what was the reaction?
They didn't put up a big fight. It wasn't like you got to stand up and do it. The other guys were doing it, but, you know, I just played all those games and getting ready to go through another season, so.
That's because Tom was one of the biggest dudes on the 85 Bears, right? Tom Thayer is here, Souls, Michael Ola. When we come back, how did the situation in Miami, what you guys went through as an offensive line last year, help you move forward, both as a man and as an NFL player? Michael Ola is our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. A girl like you, come and say- Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak, the Bears coaching staff. Here's Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Michael Ola, the Bears offensive lineman, our guest, been playing all around the offensive line. He can do it all, and he can also talk. He's been a fun guest this hour on the show. You came here as an NFL player after spending last season in Miami. And I know Tom asked you earlier who you locker next to with the Bears. They have a unique setup, probably one you were used to in Montreal, where you don't line up next to a positional group guy necessarily in the Bears locker room. You probably have teammates that you would never normally talk to that are to your left and right.
Yeah, in Chicago, my locker roommates are Jimmy Clausen.
He's got quite the mustache going right now.
He's to the right of me, and then Cornelius Washington
is
to the left. And those guys are hilarious. And then David Bass is right there, too, on the edge, too. And so those guys are hilarious, man. You know, we like our nice little neighborhood, you know, and it's some funny things that go on.
Are they neat? Are they clean? Because that's probably all you
Jimmy's a clean guy, but he always puts his half-drunk water bottles in my locker.
Uh-oh.
And so I always have to get on him about that. And he just does it out of spite. And then, you know, Cornelius, me and him used to have to get into it because he would always cross that line. And I'd be like, you stay in your locker, I stay in mine. And he would have his stuff on my side, so I'd throw it. And then, like, vice versa, he'll throw my stuff. So, but after a while, you know, we finally just made peace with each other, and we just know to move our stuff.
There's a little understanding that takes place after the midway point of the season. Now, in Miami, I'm sure the offensive line, all of you guys were together on your side of the locker room, right?
Well, when I was in Miami at the beginning of this year, my locker mate was Mike Pouncey, and that's my guy. You know, he's a cool dude. And then Randy Starks was to the other side of me. In fact, our little cubicle, we had Brandon Albert, Mike Wallace, and Noshon Marino. And so this is my first NFL locker room that I'm in, and I'm seeing all these different big name stars. So I was kind of just sitting back like, wow, like this is how I'm going to be at work every single day.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you because, you know, that was your first and that was my last and the Miami. And I know the cubicle you're talking about because I was close to that one. And it's different because you were a fresh-faced kid and this is what the NFL was all about. And when I was in Miami, they did everything by seniority. And at that time, I think I was the second oldest player on the team. So it was different how, you know, your experience is there and my experience.
Now, it was interesting last year, you know, the Jonathan Martin saga was a big deal. How did that affect you? Because we know how it was portrayed on the outside, but on the inside, you have to live it every single day. What was that like?
Well, yeah, you know, because I came in after after both Jay Martin and Incognito were out, you know, and so when I came in, just dealing with the aftermath of everything, obviously there was a bad taste in the organization's mouth, you know, just dealing with things as easy as social media. I remember one time, B.A. and Pouncey, they were talking to me on Twitter, and then guys, like random people, just started jumping in on our conversation, saying stuff, you know, referencing to the whole situation last year. And so Pouncey was like, yeah, man, you know, I can't even be on Twitter anymore just because, you know, people are going to act the way they're going to act. And so, I saw little shadows and glimpses of, you know, what was still going on with that whole situation. It was just, it's kind of like a sore spot. You know, you put a bandage over it, but if you add pressure to it, there's going to be some pain left. And so I think that's mostly what we had to deal with during that off season. But like anything else, once you start playing football, you know, things start to fade out and everybody gets back to what's really important, winning and losing, or the wins and losses.
It was probably better you didn't know anything about it, so you really didn't have to answer questions that pertain specifically to it. So
right,
it probably kept you out of the mix and just allowed you to focus on your own work.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what my mindset was anyways. Even now that I'm here, you know, I pretty much don't have my hand in a lot of different things as far as the knowing and all of that stuff, because I still just got to remember mic points. I got to remember, you know, what these blitzes look like stuff like that. So I kind of just am all about football right now.
So you're not going to go to Brandon Marshall and go, hey, what are you doing with this Lions fan on Twitter, right? You're stay out of that, right?
You know, I honestly, I thought it was like some spam. I didn't think it was real. I remember I was out at a high school just hanging out with the kids for BAM. And they asked me that question too. They was like, yeah, so what's going on with that whole situation? I said, y'all probably know more about it than me, and I see the man every day.
What happens on social media to some people? It doesn't happen to everybody. You know, it's a great source for information because I know you're on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you
yes.
don't. There's it's not Michael Ola on your Twitter account, right?
It's Falaron Michael Ola.
Is that your first name?
Yes.
See, there we learned something new on the program.
Can you say that again?
Falaron Michael Ola.
What is your background?
I was born in Riverdale, Georgia. My mother is Nigerian, and so my family, they're from Nigeria, and that's pretty much.
You should go by your real first name.
I mean, what it was I went by Michael in college, and I guess once we were getting ready for like the combine and all that type of stuff, you know. They were. It was advised to me that the name, you know, you've been going by Michael. That's what people are going to look for you under. So just keep that. And so that's kind of how, you know, it just stayed ever since.
Falcons fan?
Oh, used to be.
Yeah.
I can't stand the Falcons.
No, right. But I mean, grown up.
But I mean, yeah, I love the Falcons.
Deion
I was all about the Falcons. Yeah. And then this year happened, and I was like, I can't stand the Falcons.
Hey, man, you had a great time at the Georgia Dome.
Oh, yeah, man. That one of my most memorable moments of my life.
Yeah, starting left tackle in that game. Big win against the Falcons for Michael Ola and company. We got to take a timeout when we come back. The keys to victory against the Buccaneers from Michael Ola of the Bears. Next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Michael Ola and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. We were talking during the break with Michael Ola about what an experience it must have been as a Georgia native going down to the Georgia Dome. And the first time you ever participated, was that your first time ever at the Georgia Dome earlier this year?
That was my first time ever playing there.
On the field, right?
Yes.
So that must have been incredible to walk out of there with a victory with friends and family seeing you.
Yeah, you know, the Georgia Dome is the place where they have the state championship every year, the playoffs and everything like that. And that was always a goal, you know, at the beginning of the year. It's like, you got to make it to the Dome. And so in all my endeavors, never was able to do that. But to get a win at the professional level, that was sweet.
As a Georgia guy, are you familiar with Herschel Walker?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you were too old because that was my era. I played in Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in Georgia, and he was huge in Georgia. But I didn't know if you were actually too young to appreciate a guy like Herschel Walker.
No, if I do remember, he won the Heisman in 88. That was the year I was born, if I'm correct.
No, it was earlier than that. He won the Heisman, but nevertheless, seeing how familiar with the Georgia background.
So you would have been 10 years old when the Dirty Bird Falcons made it to the Super Bowl, right? That's amazing. Do you feel old? I do, Tom.
I do. I really do. But, you know, that's the thing about Michael. You know, you look at a player in his 20s and, you know, you have experiences that he has. You know, you don't expect him to be older, but now you understand why he's capable of doing what he does.
Watch Bears Game Night Live brought to you by CDW Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. All right, a big game on Sunday, because the thing that I think you guys have been trying to do all year is start to stack wins together and start playing some consistent offensive ball. What's the key? Very different team than what you saw last week. So what's the key to sustaining success offensively?
Well, the first thing is we have to protect the football. You know, we can't have turnovers. We have to protect Jay, allow him to complete a throwing motion. And, you know, we have to get on guys and allow 40 to do what he does best. And, along with on the defensive side of the ball, taking care of what they need to take care of. But those are just some fundamental things that we have to do in order to keep things rolling. And we believe that we're practicing and we're stacking practices together that will equate to us being able to put everything, what we've been doing, out there on the field.
That was my question. Do you feel the same this week at the end of the practices that you did last week? Because it seemed like last week everything came together and it was a good week of practices.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, last week's you know, success obviously doesn't determine the future endeavors and everything. But as we're going through practices this week, you know, we're stringing along good practices and, you know, the competition's there. You know, you might not win every rep, but, you know, I come away with practices like, okay, there's some things I need to get better at. These some things I need to do. But, you know, as a unit, the team's flying around, and that's always a great thing. And, you know, when you have that feeling and you just feel confident and you've put it on film in practice, you kind of go into the game and you're ready to rock.
Several players, Kyle Long was on our pregame show last week, and he talked about how just the entire team, that the players by themselves, no coaches, just the players getting together, kind of airing some differences out, helped kind of the Bears start fresh on the field against the Vikings. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. You know, anytime you just are able to get together and look your brothers in the eyes, and you know that the man next to me means something to him, and it means something to me as well, then that kind of helps you, you know, not just play for yourself, but to be able to dig deeper, you know, when you feel like you don't have it. And so that's just always refreshing and something that that should be done, you know.
You know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but do you have any emotional attachment to this upcoming game? Because with all due respect to Lovie, Michael wasn't here or when they were around. So what is significant for maybe Lance and Tim Jennings and the guys that were here? Do you feel it?
You know, I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel it on the same level that they feel it. But because I just love them, you know, it's easy for me to cheerlead and get that cheerleading spirit mm-hmm. where it's like, you know what? If they say, you know, it's an emotional game, then it's an emotional game right. for me. And I'm ready to jump on with them. And I just follow their lead as leaders on this team.
And that's the cool thing about team sports.
Right.
You know, when you have leaders in the locker room and you know that it means something to a guy that you consider a brother, you go out there and you do what you got to do. It's been a fun hour with Michael Ola, hasn't it?
It always is with the offensive line.
Sweet. Yes, that is very true. And we had double the power here on the show with Michael Ola and Tom Thayer. For Greg Miller, our executive producer, Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, I'm Zach Sabin saying thank you for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.